someone dragged a stick through the sand, drawing a line that was then and this is now. 2,000 years ago, that's how important this was. There's never been an event in the history of man that was so defined the human history as the birth of Jesus. Because of that event, we're all sitting here today. We've been talking about this during December, how that first Christmas, the birth of the child born to an unknown couple in an obscure village 2,000 years ago, literally drew a line in time. This single solitary event shaped the world like no other event. It was shaped, it has shaped how the world is viewed and how people are viewed. And this month, in most countries, literally there are billions of people will gather, like we're doing this morning, to celebrate to various degrees the symbolic birth date of a child who was born to an unknown couple in an obscure village 2,000 years ago. Even the most disinterested and agnostic will in some way acknowledge Christmas is something special. Even if it's only a paid day off. They understand that it's even when you change Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays, the holiday is a celebrating something. They understand that there's something special about this time of year, even if they won't name Christ in it. When we use phrases like the prodigal son, or turn the other cheek, or the blind leading the blind, we are quoting the one who was born on that day 2,000 years ago. And when we teach our children values like do unto others and speak the golden rule, we're sharing the teaching of Christ, of that Christ child. Every time we write that our date, 2019, soon to be 2020, we understand that AD, that's the line in time. That's how important His birth was, not only to those who believe, but to those who don't believe. And sometimes it's easy to see the big. It's easy to see the big picture, to realize that the world we know, how it exists today, would be so different if He hadn't come. There's hospitals named after saints because of that child born 2,000 years ago, taught His followers to care for the sick. Relief agencies touch the least of these in the world, for they do it in the name of Jesus. Missions all over the place, all over the world, helping people in the name of Jesus. Most of atheists who attack the church will even acknowledge that many of them received their education in universities that were started by followers of God, the God that they deny. The world today is what it is because of a child that was born 2,000 years ago in a stable, located in an obscure village, considered insignificant by most of the known world. But Jesus did not come to change the world. Jesus came to change people. The line that was drawn on that first Christmas would radically change the lives of people. Of course, the first people who were changed were those who were the closest. Christmas changed Mary and Joseph's entire world. How could their lives not be changed? The entire story is summed up in Matthew 1:18. And this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, she was still a virgin. She became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a change. The couple was engaged. And that's normal from the very foundation of time. Men and women have been choosing to spend their lives together in a socially and legally recognized union that we call marriage. And Mary and Joseph weren't any different. We don't know how they met. We don't know how old they were. What we do know is that they were engaged to be married. They weren't yet married. And Mary was a virgin. Everything's going well, just the way it's supposed to be going. They were, you know, probably planning for the big day, dreaming of their lives together. And then an angel shows up with an announcement that changes everything. Everything. We've all had that one phone call that changed your entire life, haven't you? If you haven't, you will. This announcement to them changed everything. Just imagine what the news meant to Mary and Joseph. People who would never view them the same. To some, they would always be that couple who had to get married. And they would always feel the weight of the responsibility that God had entrusted to them. This is my son. He's going to save the world. And I want you to take care of him. Make sure that he stays safe and healthy and bring him up knowing about me. And for 33 years, Mary marveled at the son she called Jesus and the responsibility that was her. And to be truthful, she couldn't comprehend the plan that God had set forth. She just couldn't. He was going to be laid in a borrowed manger. And still, she still couldn't comprehend the plan when she held her son before he was laid in a borrowed grave. But her words of trust in Luke 1:38, Mary says this, "I am the Lord's servant, and may everything you have said about me come true." We don't even know her name, but you can be sure that she would never forget the name of Jesus. She had done what she had never thought she would be capable of doing. She broke her marriage vows, and she got caught. The best that she could hope for would be a public divorce and humiliation. The worst case scenario would be that her husband would insist on her death, which would be entitled to according to the laws of the day. But most of you know the story. It's found in John's Gospel, and it's where we get the phrase, "cast the first stone." And so symbolically, the woman caught in adultery represents us all. We'll get back to that in a second. Do you realize Christmas changes our world? Jesus didn't come so that we could have Christmas. You got that? He did not come so that we could have Christmas. Jesus didn't come so that we could have religion. When Joseph was struggling with that, with what Mary had told him about the angel's message to her, he too was visited by an angel who had this message for him in Matthew 1:20. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save your people from their sins." And when Jesus defined his purpose and his mission, he states in Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." And that's us. We're lost. He came for us. You know, each one of us is born with a longing for more. We know that there's something out there, even if we can't name it or describe it. King Solomon talked about this in Ecclesiastes, you know, how he said, "Yet God had made everything beautiful for its own time. He had planted eternity in the human heart." Did you catch that? He had planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning of time until the end of time. God has planted eternity in the human heart, a desire to connect with our Creator, to have a relationship with God. And that happens because he came as a child to bridge the chasm that exists between sinful man and a holy God. That's the reason why Jesus came, is because it is that bridge between us and God that only he could span. I want to go back to the story of the woman caught in adultery. You probably know the story. She's brought to Jesus by the religious leaders of the day for judgment. There doesn't seem to be any doubt about her guilt, because Well, the story says that she was very caught in the very act. And on that day, when her guilt was beyond question, Jesus offers her two gifts. You remember the part where Jesus stoops down and draws in the. You can tell me later what you think he wrote. But he was sitting there writing in the sand. Perhaps, maybe he was chronicling the sins of her accusers. But then he looks at him and says in John 8:7, he says, All right, she's guilty. But let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. And they all walked away. And if we pick up the story in John 8, Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And he said, "Neither do I." Because there was a Christmas, there was a Jesus to save this woman from the consequences of her actions. And so the first gift Jesus offered the woman was forgiveness from her past. And it's a gift we all long for, whatever our past holds. But that wasn't the greatest gift that was offered that day. Because Jesus doesn't stop there, and he says this, "Go and sin no more." You see, the greatest gift that Jesus offered the woman was a gift of a new future. And that gift is still offered to us today. You see, the biggest mistake that we can make is to see Christmas as an isolated event that happened 2,000 years ago. You see, the challenge isn't to keep Christ in Christmas. It's to get Christ out of Christmas and to allow Him to change us and change the world. We do not celebrate the birth of Christ just at Christmas. It is a celebration every day. Every day forgives our sins that we ask. Every day that we lean upon Him for help. And every day when we realize that we are a saved child of God because of what He did 2,000 years ago. And sometimes we put an ending on it. He was born and He died. But we can celebrate Christmas every day because He is alive even today with His Father waiting to come back. Yes, sometimes I think we need to get Christ out of Christmas and put Christ in the forefront every day of our lives. And when you realize that the child who was born to an unknown couple in an obscure village 2,000 years ago truly is the Son of God, who, when you embrace the message that He taught and recognize that He died for you and that He rose from the dead, then you are understanding the difference that Christ Christmas makes. It's not just a time for celebrating. It's not just a time for gift giving. It's not just a time or excuse for having a party. It's not just an excuse to have church, Christmas services at a church. But Christmas is a time every single day of our life because of the gifts that little baby sent by God, who grew up, lived a perfect and sinless life, did something that we could never do, and took the world's sins upon Him, and offers us to believe and trust in Him. Man, not just then, but right now. You know, when you allow His grace to become a part of your life, it'll be almost like someone had a stick and drew a line before and after. It'll be that important to you. That moment you asked Jesus Christ into your life and you became a saved child of God, before and after. that big of a difference. Just as big a difference as it was before Christ came and after, when you are born again. That was then, but this is now. And it's because of Christmas. Because Christmas truly can be a line in time for you. I hope and pray this morning that you will take this into your hearts and your minds in consideration every day, especially during this time, and not get caught up in all the other stuff of Christmas, but to just remember. Remember that day when you asked Jesus Christ into your heart and your life? That line was drawn before and after. And thank God that He sent His Son to this earth so that He could die for us, to have that hope of restoration of God, with God and with man. As we stand and we prepare for an invitation, you may not have ever had that line drawn. You may have decided that, oh, I believe there's a God, and I believe that He died and went to the cross and went and died for me. But you never had entered to that personal relationship with Him. That line had never been drawn. You don't have a before and after. You just have a now. Today is the day. And what a wonderful gift that you have for this Christmas. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, that you make that. You make that happen, because I know the Lord is dealing with your heart right now. And it's all because of this story and this message. So whatever the Lord's dealing with you in your heart, you can make it right with Him today as we sing.
Number 524. 524.